Welcome back, WBAI 99.5 FM New York, Rise Up Radio. Please, let me make this quick correction. That's at the Shishama tonight, 113 West 42nd Street. It's Voices Unbroken. I apologize. The name is Voices Unbroken.
Yeah, and if you can, go out and support that organization doing really good work with young incarcerated people. Okay, next, as many of you listeners know, and some of you may not know, on November 16th, partygoers in Brooklyn who were attending an anarchist People of Color fundraiser were brutally attacked by the police. Rise Up Radio's Leanne Stanky and Jackson Allers from Free Speech Radio News brings us an update on the APOC 8, the defendants involved in this incident.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
On December 18th, a trial is set to take place at the Brooklyn Criminal Court for eight young people accused by the 77th Precinct of the New York Police Department of assault, inciting a riot, and resisting arrest. On the night the eight were arrested, they were attending an anarchist People of Color fundraising event at the Critical Resistance office in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. According to eyewitness accounts, at least 20 NYPD vehicles converged on the office, claiming they were called in because of an open container violation. Partygoers responding to the initial police presence were soon overpowered, and according to onlookers, the police unleashed a flurry of crowd control tactics, including indiscriminate use of chemical agents and unrestrained use of force. When the night was over, many attendees registered blunt trauma injuries, lacerations, contusions, and chemical reactions to the pepper spray used by the police officers. Members of Critical Resistance, an organization dedicated to resisting the prison industrial complex, says no warrants were presented upon police entrance, and the organizers for the event responded peacefully to police threats and physical provocation. Critics of the police action say the people attending the event are vocal dissenters to the city's police tactics and have been openly critical of local government and of the Bush administration's push for war in Iraq. They say the police actions are just a preventative measure designed to silence dissent in the build-up to the Republican National Convention to be held in New York this summer. In anticipation of the December 18th court date, Rise Up Radio's Leanne Stanky talked to some of the people who attended the Anarchist People of Color event. Mervyn Marcano is media spokesperson for the eight who were charged.
Can you give me a sense of what the fundraiser was for?
We were raising funds for a group called APOC, Anarchist People of Color. And it was a party, so it was just kind of like a feel-good event, you know, people are dancing and having fun, you know, so that's pretty much what the energy of the event looks like.
Who called in the initial complaint?
It's unclear that there was actually any complaint. Doesn't seem that there was any complaint. The police just seemed to arrive because they charged that there was somebody outside with an open container, not of anything specific, but just they saw somebody with an open container, so that's how they initially arrived.
According to Critical Resistance, all the tenants of the private residential building where the party was held were present at the event and did not request police assistance. Indeed, building tenants at the party confirmed that no complaint with the precinct was ever made. Piper Anderson was also at the event. Anderson suffered injuries from the police action and is one of the accused who will be in a Brooklyn court on December 18th. She talked to Rise Up about what happened when the police arrived.
All hell broke loose. I mean, like, officers came to the door, started asking questions, and became really, really abusive. One of my co-defendants, you know, had a camera and was just, like, observing what was happening and how the officers were being very, very aggressive with people in the party. And they grabbed him, threw him, slammed him on the car, you know. People were asking questions like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And before we knew it, there were, like, all these police cars on the street. We were being pepper sprayed. You know, people were being hit with batons, you know, being grabbed, you know, thrown to the ground. It was just, like, it became very, very chaotic. I was grabbed from behind. I fell to my knees. I don't know how many officers were over me, but I was being hit with batons in my back and in my head. They put cuffs on me and they put me in the police car.
Piper Anderson says those who were assaulted on that November night still carry the residual effects.
That, I mean, I'm still dealing with, you know, with my injuries right now. It's a long healing process. Right after being released, went to the hospital, had a concussion, a major back sprain. I spent, you know, a week and a half, you know, laid out. People had to dress me, you know, walk me from the bathroom to the bedroom, you know. I was in excruciating pain, like emotional pain and physical pain, and just feeling very confused, like not able to, you know, clearly communicate or express what was going on, but just feeling completely overwhelmed, and at the same time understanding that there was so much work that needed to be done around this case and around the fact that, like, you know, even though it was just the eight of us who were arrested, there were others at the party who were also assaulted, you know, that the police were completely out of control, and this was so wrong, you know, what happened. And being an organizer, just feeling so obligated to be in, you know, be in the thick of the work, but not being able to do that. So that was really frustrating. It's a struggle. And then also just like the physical pain, like, you know, I have to see doctors after doctors, and there's a lot of work that has to be done on my back, you know, with my spinal cord. There's sections of my spinal cord that are in acute shock, you know, and there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done just to heal over the next couple of months.
Organizers for Critical Resistance and for the Anarchist People of Color movement all admit that the NYPD is ramping up their crackdown on dissent leading up to the Republican National Convention. But spokesperson for the defendants, Mervin Marcano, says police abuse towards this particular group illustrates a larger historical phenomenon of brutality within communities of color.
I can say with absolute clarity that this happens all the time in communities of color, and that we are subjected to this all the time as organizers, as activists, and people of color, queer people, trans people, youth, women. But, you know, obviously things are escalating because of the political climate in this country right now. There's not a whole lot of, you know, the idea coming from the Bush administration and even local police departments is that we don't have to put up with you. You know, we don't have to put up with your demonstrations and your civil liberties. So they're basically, you know, sort of cracking down. No doubt that down the line, folks who are organizing for the RNC, the Republican National Convention, will see a heightened police brutality and a police activity like we've never seen before. I think this was definitely a precursor to that.
Recent mass protests in New York have been met with increased police surveillance of those openly dissenting against U.S. and local government policies, especially in relation to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And after the February 15th protest prior to the invasion, the NYPD was accused of violating the Hanshu Agreement. Civil rights advocates charged the NYPD with compiling political dossiers on activists, the likes of which had not been seen since the infamous Red Squad was cracking down on political organizations in New York in the 1960s. With the NYPD's adoption of federal surveillance tactics issued by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, critics of the surveillance tactics say the NYPD sought to override the safeguards set up by Hanshu, which limited the NYPD's ability to obtain and keep records on protesters. A recent ruling by a New York federal judge reinstated the Hanshu safeguard. Christian Bello was also one of those attending the Anarchist People of Color event. Bello, although not arrested, also suffered physical injuries from the police assault and says the police made a concerted effort to take personal information and were unwilling to identify themselves.
And then approximately around 2 o'clock, three DTs tried to take our sign-in sheet from the front. And that sign-in sheet was denied to them, and they seemed to get upset. So they started asking people's photo IDs and taking people's photo IDs from them without giving them back. When people were asking for them to identify themselves, they refused to identify themselves. And so we took it upon ourselves to take a picture of the officers that were there. And that's when they started roughing up the person who was taking the picture and threw them outside into the front and started brutalizing them in such a way where it was inappropriate. We didn't even know who they were. You know, they were plainclothes officers. And we didn't even know if they were officers. I mean, because they didn't identify themselves as officers. I was also maced at because I had paper and pen out, and I was trying to get badge numbers down of the people who were hitting me across my head and then also that were macing people. And so when I tried to write down that that was knocked down from my hands and mace was thrown in my eyes.
Spokesperson for the defendants, Marcano, says the group is unclear as to the motives for the police insistence on collecting their party sign-in sheet, but many associated with the anarchist people of color believe activists need to be more vigilant about the increased police efforts to track and surveil organizers. Critical Resistance is asking people to pack the courtroom to show support for these young activists of color. The court date for the AIPOC 8 is set for Thursday, December 18th at 9 a.m., 120 Skimmerhorn, Brooklyn Criminal Court, Room AP2. For more information about how to support the AIPOC 8, contact Critical Resistance at 718-398-2825. That's 718-398-2825. Or check their website at www.criticalresistance.org. That's www.criticalresistance.org. Reporting for Rise Up Radio, I'm Jackson Allers with Leanne Stanky.
Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the beast.
This is Rise Up Radio, and I'm your host, Saki, on WBAI 99.5 FM. You just heard an interview telling you about the incident that happened in November at the benefit for the first Anarchist People of Color Conference. Just want to remind you that next week on December 18th, don't forget to pack the Brooklyn Criminal Courthouse on 120 Skimmerhorn. That's where we need a strong turnout to support the eight people who were unfairly arrested, as you just heard. So again, pack the courthouse next Thursday at 9 a.m. at 120 Skimmerhorn, room AP-2.